Welcome to the Business Buyer Diaries. My name is Nathan Platter. I'm a full-time employee, and I bought a business. I did everything right, from finding the deal, handling all the due diligence on 63 opportunities, and ultimately bought a profitable gym. And boy, was I in for a big surprise as a new owner. I chronicled everything in real time, including the biggest wins to the stressful nights at 2 a.m. I'm sharing my journey without sugarcoating anything, so you don't make the same mistakes that I did. Here's today's episode.
Well, I wanted to clear it up why there's so many fake job listings out there in the world. And it's more about like the hiring and the business admin side of things, not so much like the business buying journey, but why like companies do what they do. So if you're looking for motivational or the journey, just go ahead and skip. Today's going to be about why business owners do what they do. So on LinkedIn, at least right now in December of 2023, there's a lot of attention as to folks trying to find work, folks that have worked in corporate careers and now they're trying to get a job and they can't get one, cannot get one. And they're struggling. They're really annoyed. They're really frustrated, and understandably so. That's really agitating when you you feel like you're really good at something and no one's giving you a job opportunity to do what you are already good at. And here's two items that I wanted to bring up. Why you never get a call or an email response back from the application. Why you don't get the offer to begin with. And also, and additionally, why you never even hear about any progress on it whatsoever. Like you apply and you never hear from the company again. And so think about it from the company's point of view. If you were the company, and what is your top priority? Your top priority is to have as little cost to gain as much value. That's your goal. Your goal is not, unless you're a nonprofit or you're a church or something, your goal is to not be a ministry to the world. It's ultimately to have the most value for your enterprise. So you put out a job posting because you have untapped value that you know you can capture. They need people to help capture it. Just go with a salesperson. That's easy. For a dealership, you have 1,000 cars, you have 2 sales reps. Okay, you probably need another sales rep to go sell cars. So what you want to do is you want to get someone in the door with experience today, right now. That's your dream scenario. That's not going to happen. So you have to look for existing salespeople that have experience, can start selling cars, and they already know how to sell cars. So you're probably going to steal an employee from a competitor. You're going to find a salesperson in a similar industry, like auto parts or auto stores, like an O'Reilly, or like an RV sales or a boat salesperson. You know, just steal them. They know the industry, and they can keep selling motors. Well, that's your second best plan. Well, if you can't do that, you're going to find a salesperson that knows how to sell software, office supplies, gym equipment, use clocks, just anything. Someone that knows how to sell, work a system, and go. You follow my pattern here. The last thing you want to do is find someone with no experience, no aspiration, and no desire, but they're a warm body and they can do what you're asking. And they might do what you ask them to do. That's the last thing you want to do. And when it comes to putting out a job posting, it's because there's nothing that you can grab that's an immediate fill for the role. You have to go find someone off the street that's not a referral or a competitor that can do the job. And that's what you don't want to do. So when you put on a job posting, the company is kind of already in a semi-desperate spot in the sense that they don't have someone to do the role, but they need someone. So that's a cost. You have to write the job description, put out the posting, scan through resumes, conduct interviews, submit an offer, do onboarding training, and then you start getting the value back from all that cost. Well, do you want to, when you put on a posting and you get a right now, if like an average posting gets like 300 to 500 applicants, your goal is to zip through those as fast as possible. Out of 500 applicants, we'll just go with the car dealership. Maybe 300 are local. Maybe 100 can speak the language that you need them to speak, whether it be just one or multiple. Of the remaining 100, maybe 50 have experience in what they've done. Maybe the remaining 15 are actually able to like show up to the interview. Of the 15, maybe 5 make it through the initial interview and they get to the manager interview. And so now you've interviewed 5 people. Now you make an offer to 1 person. That's awesome. So now you have 1 person that's verbally committed, maybe 2, but only 1 like follows through and takes the job. And now you've submitted the offer. You have 499 other people that did not get the job. Now, if you're a phone, if you've ever done business prospecting or cold calling, how many dials can you do in a day? If you're really good, maybe 100 or maybe 200, 150. If you're an average like phone dialer, maybe 100 people. Are you gonna find someone on your team to spend their entire work week to call every applicant, say, hey, thank you for applying, have a nice day, and either say that or leave a voicemail? Probably not. Can you do an email blast? Sure, that could probably work, but it's got to be a canned email because you don't want to hand type 500 emails. So at best case, you do an email blast, but now that's a few hours of cost and work to now tell people they did not do any, they did not get the job for your business. And then they may call back, they may email, respond back and say, but I really want this role. I really need this job. And like your focus is now not explaining people why they did not get to work for your company. Your focus is on onboarding, training, and getting value from that new person. It sounds harsh, but that's the reality of what the business goal is. It's to run a profitable value-add enterprise for your community and for the world at hand. Now you got to make sure the person shows up to the sales training. You got to get them up to speed on how the phones work, the email works, how to do a walkthrough, how they handle customer objections. Now you've got like 2 or 3 weeks of sales training for this person for your dealership. And so there's no time to respond back to all these inquiries, following up with people and telling them that they didn't get a job at the company. That if you do that, that's really nice of you. If you don't do it, as an applicant and an outsider, that's what I would expect. If I don't hear from you, you didn't pick me, so I'm not going to be your person. But if you saw me, liked me, and you had a need, and I can fill your need, yeah, you'll contact me. I will be here. But if I apply to 500 positions and I get zero callbacks from an applicant perspective, I'm probably doing something wrong. I'm not submitting myself to the right roles. I'm not selling myself as a good applicant worker. I'm not connecting and sell. I'm not closing myself as the deal for a company. And whether that's right or wrong or unfair, that's the reality of what's going on. And so that's why companies are not obligated to tell people they did not get an interview or get the job. To me, that's kind of silly. Like, that's like when you go to a car dealership, do a test drive, and now they ask for like a 2-page report on why you're not buying that car today. Like, well, no, I just don't want to. And then that's the end of it. The dealership cannot hold you hostage until you give them a reason that, well, my credit is bad, or I don't like the color of the car, or it smelled funny, or I just wanted to drive it for fun. Like, you don't have to give a good reason. You can just say, thanks, I'm moving in another direction. And then you walk away from a car dealership if you're a buying customer. And so that's what's going on for the companies. That's for why there are so many, and that's why they don't owe an explanation when you don't hear back from a company. Now, if they're putting out ghost job listings or job ads, and like, and the truth of the reality for that situation is they're not going to do anything about it. They just want to harvest. It's called farming resumes or harvesting resumes. Industries and businesses with high turnover are always trying to fill their back pool of candidates. You ever like drive down the street and you see like now leasing apartments? They may have openings, they may not. They want to have a list of prospects to call when there is an opening, and now they want people that they know are somewhat interested. Last thing you want as an employer is to have one of your managers, your instructors, your sales reps, when somebody to say, hey, I'm giving my 2 weeks notice. It takes a good month to go find a new worker and submit a job offer. In reality, it takes a while. You got to write the description, put out the posting, ask around, interview, second round interview, third round offer. They accept. And now you start onboarding. It takes a month. So if someone gives 2 weeks notice, you will have a gap and the business will backslide a little bit. So first off, you need to give more than 2 weeks notice. Second, companies need to have a pool of ready to go lists of people to call so that if and when, in reality, when they have an opening, they at least have some people to go contact. They can't have zero. If you have zero, you're going to be in trouble. And lo and behold, today I have zero if any of my staff leave. So I'm not practicing what I'm preaching as of today, but that's the reality of why companies do it. Companies are not going to get ghosted by like a VP of sales or like a head director of product at like Target. Folks that are C-suite VP are not as likely to get blind to like leave willy-nilly and drop. But folks that are like managers, or not even like managers, but like contributors, like a car salesperson, or like someone who details the cars, they are far more likely to say, yo, I'm out 2 weeks, peace, than like the VP of sales at Target Corporation. And so Target's not going to be looking for VPs of sales all the time. That's just silly. But a detail shop or an apartment complex, or like a, I'm trying to think of anything that always has like Wendy's. They always have like, hey, now hiring $60 an hour. They always need people in the hopper because someone's not going to show up on Friday and that person just ghosts the company. And so when you apply, you never hear back. It's possibly they're farming and they'll need you in a couple months. I've had that happen. I've applied, never hear something. And then 4 months later, hey, Nathan, you applied. You want an interview? And that's what was going on. So if you don't hear anything back, don't sweat it. That may be what's going on. Or it could be that you're not in their top 15 list on the spot. So they're not going to do a first round interview. I mean, companies usually interview maybe 10 people on the first round. It costs them money to interview people. With 10 people, that's 10 first rounds, 5 second rounds, 3 final rounds. And so instantly that's what? 19 hours of interview. If a manager is 150 grand a year, a software developer is 100 grand a year. That's $70 an hour, 20 hours. That's $1,400 just of cost just to interview people, just to talk to them to see who the new hire is going to be. And that's just on salary and benefits. So all that to say, that's what's going on. That's why companies put up empty job opportunities to get resumes and build the pipeline. That's why they're not obligated to tell you if you're not selected. Plus, they don't want to come back like a couple months later and say, hey, we actually do want you to work for us. And then you'd be like, well, you didn't want me then. And now they have to backpedal. They'll just ghost you. And that's easier for everyone. And so that's what's going on. And for better or worse, the current state of how companies view employees, right or wrong, but people specialize in one area of their career. Excuse me. So if you're a salesperson, you know sales. You don't know how to do accounting work. Or you don't know how to do marketing. You don't know how to dig a ditch. You don't know how to work in a factory. You probably know how to sell stuff and get people to give you money to you now give them a product. If a company has too many salespeople, it's cool if they teach you accounting and now you can work in the accounting department. But what's easier and most effective for them is to let you go, pay benefits, pay the costs of separation, let you be unemployed, and now they can save and salvage that cost of separation, and they can reallocate that and hire an expert accountant instead of keeping you on board and paying you to be a terrible accountant when you know sales. And so humans are an investment. Humans have capital. Humans have purpose. And a business is rather heartless. As a whole, businesses are rather heartless in that capacity. Their goal is to invest in human capital. And if you're doing like a home project at home and you're building a fence, you're not going to go buy a Bobcat Caterpillar. You're not going to go buy electrical wiring to build a fence. You're not going to buy a TV and nacho dip to go dig a ditch for your kid's playground. You buy the tools you need when you need them, and you either buy it or rent it. And it sounds heartless, but that's how businesses view human employment. They need certain skills at certain times for a certain capacity. And then when it's done, they let people go. Sometimes they keep that person forever. Sometimes they'll replace that person if it's the right tool, but the wrong brand or wrong person per se. But they're not obligated to do a lot of that stuff. And so that's one major reason why I want to be a business owner. Because I will always invest in myself. I will always find the right people for the system. I don't want to get blindsided. I don't want to blindside people either. And I'm tired of applying. I'm tired of going through these hoops of trying to keep my job, prove my worth, and know that I'm going to be hired, then be kept on board day after day. But that's what companies are set to do. That's a painful side of capitalism. And for better or worse, that's the current modus operandi. And that's what companies do, y'all. I'm sorry. Send me hate mail. Tell me I'm a jerk. Come hit on me as much as you can. If you don't like this, I'm trying to help bring some rationality, even if it's not pleasant to hear. That's where we're at. I'm going to finish out today. Tomorrow's the big deliverable for the day job. We're having a good sales week. We're going to crush it. Let's rock and roll.
This has been another episode of the Business Buyer Diaries. Subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. I hope you're realizing that business ownership is no cakewalk. Check the podcast notes for a link to the DIY due diligence program, the complete list of show sponsors, and for media inquiries. Music written and composed by Wes Schrock. I'm your host, Nathan Platter. Join me again on the next one.